Thank you, Caroline. It's so good to be here. And I'm so impressed that all of you are here are not watching the football or soccer final. We call it soccer in the US, as you know, I'm sure. So I feel totally free that if you decide in a little while that you want to go watch the game, I'm good. Just whatever you need to do, please enjoy yourself and let's have some time to practice together or root for the team. So I have been teaching something that I have called the spectrum of awareness practices and natural awareness. So spectrum of awareness practices is the way in which we can think about how to be aware, that our awareness can work in many different ways. So we can be mindful. We have different ways of practicing that where we can be mindful in a very focused way. We can be mindful in a more ordinary way. We can be mindful in a very wide open, spacious, panoramic way. And so as was mentioned in some of the information that went out about this time together, I'm going to be teaching from this model. And the first meditation that we're going to do now, we'll do a longer meditation of about 30 minutes. And we will practice across the spectrum of awareness. And the easiest way to think about this, if you're unfamiliar with the concept, is that our attention can be like a camera lens, right? Sometimes we can take a very narrow telescopic lens photo, telephoto lens photo, right? Very, very narrow. Sometimes we take an ordinary picture and sometimes we can take a wide open, spacious picture, a panoramic lens picture. And so we're going to, through this meditation, go through those different ones. And then after we do the meditation, we're going to focus on that wide open, spacious, panoramic lens of how to be aware. Okay, so that being said, let's settle back in a way that is comfortable to you. So feel free to go wherever you are at ease, on a chair, on a cushion, on the floor. Some of you may be on beds, even standing, but whatever is helpful to you in terms of your own practice. We can take a few deep breaths, allowing ourselves to settle, to rest, to come into a more spacious, relaxed place of being with ourselves right here in this present moment. Let's feel our feet on the ground, feet or legs, whatever is connected to the ground for you. Or if you're on furniture, notice that this furniture is on the ground and just let yourself gently sense and feel into the ground below you. And so we can feel there's heaviness and warmth and hardness and sense of pressure. Their bodies, as they make contact with the ground or the furniture, and also have a sense of the earth below you. So not only is there physical ground you're making contact with, there's also earth below us, even if you're many stories up. And let's take a moment to acknowledge the land that we are on, whatever land you are on. And I know that you are all around the world right now. So let's just take a moment to honor whatever indigenous people who lived on this land for thousands of years, and to honor their stewardship of this land. You might even in your mind, if you know the name, So where I am, it's Tongva and Gabriel Leno people. And of course, if that brings up, which it may, the history of colonialism and all of that, that is there too. And it's just part of when we do a land acknowledgement. It's one of the reasons we do it, to remember, to not forget, and to know we will do it differently moving forward. Just breathing and sensing and letting yourself be where you are. Softening, allowing. So we're going to start by focusing our attention, and I invite you to find whatever is your meditation anchor. And by the way, most people close their eyes when they meditate, but some people don't, so you don't have to. If it's comfortable for you to keep your eyes closed, you can. If it's not, just looking downward. So finding your anchor, for many of us, it's our breathing. Perhaps we notice our abdomen rising and falling, expanding and contracting with each breath. Our chest rising and falling, expanding and contracting with the breath. Or you might feel air moving through your nose, tingling, warmth, coolness. If the breath is not useful for you, or you find it hard to notice your breathing, you can notice your feet, go back to your feet and feel the changing sensations in your feet. There's tingling, warmth, coolness, vibration. You can also do that with your hands, changing sensation in your hands. And some people listen to sounds as they come and go. So just pick something. They all work equally well, and most of you have experience. And find where your main focus is, your anchor for meditation. Let's stay here for a bit, and we're starting with the most narrow part of the camera, the telephoto lens. So we're just going to notice our breath in our bodies, or sensations, or sounds. And as you're doing that, you might be with a breath or two, and then your attention gets pulled away. And if that happens, you're not doing anything wrong, it's normal. That's what happens to people. Gently bring your attention back. For this first part, keep coming back. Keep coming back. No matter what pulls you away, come back in a kind way. So it's just this process of returning our attention that builds concentration and calm. Builds awareness, stability of mind, clarity. So we're going to start here for a few minutes. So we'll shift a little bit how we practice, still staying with our home base, our anchor, our main focus, your breath. Maybe it's your feet or hands or the sounds. So still keeping that the primary thing you notice. And now when something pulls you away, rather than immediately going right back to your focus, let yourself investigate, sense, feel, explore what has pulled you away. So let's say you're with your breath and a loud sound comes. Your attention goes to it quite naturally. Listen to the sound until you no longer hear that sound and maybe it just dissolves. And then come back to your focus. Or you're with your focus, your anchor, and there's some ache or pain in the body. Turn your attention to it. Feel it. Sense it. Notice it. Maybe it gets bigger or smaller, intensifies, reduces. When it stops holding your attention, come back. Come back to your focus. Same with an emotion. Maybe an emotion moves through you. Bring your attention to it. Feel it. Notice it. What happens? What do you feel in your body? What kind of thoughts are going on? Just be with. And then once it's shifted or changed or maybe stops holding your attention, come back. Come back to your focus. So this is what I call investigative awareness, where we begin to investigate our experience rather than staying merely focused, which we did in the first part. So we're going to expand our field of awareness a little bit more. This time, I invite you to let go of your focus, of your anchor, your home base, so the breath or your feet or sounds, and just let yourself be with whatever arises, moment after moment. So there might be a sound, and then a memory, and then a body sensation, and then an emotion, and that emotion intensifies, and then another memory, and then you feel something in your body, and so on. And so we just follow the flow of experience in what's called an open awareness. Our awareness now is much more open, and it's sometimes called choiceless. It's choosing us rather than we're choosing specifically what to notice. We're just staying with life as it happens, moment after moment. And as you do this, if it starts to feel hard or kind of overwhelming or something, just go back to your focus, go back to your breathing for a little while. As we move through this, if you find that there's one area I described that feels really familiar and enjoyable to you and you want to stay there, stay there. But I'm just giving you the model that you can play with yourself. So see where you are. What happens if you are just to let go of that anchor and be with whatever is arising, moment after moment, a sound, a memory, a thought, a sensation, and so on. And we'll make one more shift in our meditation. And this is the territory of what I call natural awareness. Natural awareness is just resting in your own sense of being. And let's start by exploring a little bit. There are these sensations and thoughts and sounds and breath. And so many things happening inside us. But what is knowing? Who's noticing that all of this is happening? Can you turn your attention to the knower? You may not be able to do this, or you might, but just what happens as we begin to ask that question, like, who's noticing? Where is the awareness itself? Can you notice awareness? Can awareness know itself? If that feels a little too complicated, just right now, relax, rest, and just be. Stop trying to be aware, to do anything. Everything is happening on its own. Awareness is always present. We can find that place within us of fundamental well-being that is always here, always present. This natural luminosity, this ease. So just invite you maybe to consider that possibility and simply rest without making an effort to practice in any way. Just being, resting in awareness itself. It's impossible to not be aware. If you were to try that right now, what would happen? So rest here. Let go, open, spacious, vast, everything happening on its own. Just be. Soften your body, soften your mind. Awareness is here for us, always. So we can kind of reemerge from that form of meditation into our time together. And just wanted to kind of review a little bit what we did, because this is relevant to what we'll be doing, and also want to share this model. As I mentioned at the beginning, I have a model that came out of my book called The Little Book of Being, which is about how we can notice different types of awareness, right? From this very focused to a more open, to a really open, to a spacious, wide open awareness of awareness place. And what it does is it takes a lot of the different methods of meditating and it puts it together, because you know, I don't know about you, but I've studied with many different teachers over about 30 years. And I learned one meditation technique with one teacher and one meditation technique with another teacher. And I was trying to figure out, how do they fit together? How do they make sense? And it took me a long time. It took me many years, but ultimately in consultation, collaboration with friends and colleagues and other meditation teachers, this model emerged that I think is helpful in a number of different ways, because it can help us to both see where we are in our practice, adjust what needs to happen, and also it also can expand our practice, because a lot of us get stuck in ruts. You know, I was teaching a retreat a few months ago and someone said, I've been meditating for 20 years and I didn't know there was anything else to do other than notice my breathing. So this is about an expansive practice, and it includes in it the more sort of non-dual end of practice, if you will. So for me, the influences have included Dzogchen and Mahamudra and Advaita Vedanta. And some of you know these words and some of you don't. But for those of you who do, I just want to let you know that's where the more kind of non-dual end of it. And my intention. So I just want to we'll just go into it, because what I'm going to do now is I want to explore that particular end of the practice. And I've just come out with this audio course, which has this whole thing with the spectrum of awareness practices. So if you're interested, you can definitely follow up. I'll give the link to that before we end. But let's go now to this, the wide open, panoramic, spacious end of practice. And my experience has been that there's a lot out there that teaches us how to practice in a very focused way, but there's less out there that teaches us how to practice in this wide open way. And and if you notice, when we went through that spectrum, we started focused, then we moved into what I call investigative. Investigative is really the territory of Vipassana meditation or insight meditation, where we're exploring our thoughts and emotions and insight maybe arising from that, where we're seeing the impermanent nature, the not self nature of things, and the reactivity we have around aspects of it. And then we moved into an open awareness practice. And that open awareness practice to me is a beautiful place in practice. And some of you may be familiar with it, where it's just like, you're just with whatever is arising, and the mind is so sharp and clear, and you can notice what's happening. And there's less of a, you know, less of a, I have to go back to my anchor. There's less effort. So often with these different types of practices, we go from very effortful to effortless in this spectrum. And then we moved into, then that launched us into this last one, which is the, what I call natural awareness. And I'm going to say more about that. And we're going to do a bunch of practices related to that in a moment. One thing that's important to know about the spectrum of awareness practices is it's not hierarchical. It's not like focused awareness is the baby practice and natural awareness is the special esoteric practice that you only can do once you've had certain attainments or something. It's not like that at all. What I've seen from my own practice over the years is that I go back and forth through that full spectrum all the time, not necessarily in any order, but just based on the day. You know, I sit down to meditate. My mind is wild, and all I want to do is pay attention to my breathing. And I just do that, and that feels great. Or I notice that I'm feeling very tense, and every time I meditate, my mind is feeling really, really tight. And so I might move into a more open practice. or I'm caught in an emotion and I bring in like a rain practice, investigating my experience. Most of you are probably familiar with recognize, allow, investigate, not identify, and nurture. So we can have, and then sometimes I'll sit down and it's just like, I'm just boom, resting in awareness, and here it is. And so we can have this kind of fluidity and flexibility in our practice. It's really interesting once we know this full territory of awareness practices. And I would say that, and there's not a hierarchy. It's just we do different things at different times. So that's the purpose of me teaching. I'm kind of like a meditation technician in a way. Like I'm interested in how we can expand and grow our practice so that we have more depth of experience and that we have more and more skills as we meditate. So let's take a look at that last territory that we did, the last one, this natural awareness practice. Natural awareness practice, oh, by the way, I said it's not like there's a hierarchy. There's not a hierarchy, but this type of practice is harder for some people. And I will say that some people, as I've been teaching it over the last, 5 years or so, people will come to me and say, that's the practice I've always been doing. I didn't even know there was a name for it. And there are plenty of people that don't like to meditate with their breathing, that they find that it just is really hard, but their mind does fine, is very aware in the midst of a lot of open practice. So we're all really different. So the natural awareness practices is this wide open, spacious, resting. There's two ways of thinking about it, like resting in this quality of being and then awareness of awareness itself. And it's the kind of practice we do, like the first three types of practices are very much like you work at it. It's like you're trying to stay present. By the time you get to the natural awareness practice, it's spacious. There's not an effort there, or it's minimal, very minimal effort. So the analogy would be like we ride a bicycle and we pedal, and then we get to a certain point and we just coast, right? That's the sort of beauty of this part of the practice. It can feel very like deeply nourishing, like, okay, now I'm connecting with myself. Now I'm connecting myself in a deep and profound way. And everyone can have this sense of this access to this well-being. I call it sometimes like a fundamental well-being that comes with natural awareness. And we'll do a little practice in a while where I'll show you what I mean. So even if you're just starting out, you can have a taste of natural awareness. As you move along with it, there's more nuances. There's a lot to explore. But it's natural awareness. I see it as this free, flowing, open, spacious awareness that is bright, luminous, profoundly restful. It's awake, aware. It is spacious. And it's the way that I kind of think about it sometimes is it's part of our what it means to be human. And when I was doing the meditation practice before, I said, try to not be aware. And I'm guessing, oh, it sounds like there's a sound problem. Is that correct? Is it breaking up or is there a problem with it? Static. Did it just start? Okay, hold on. Let's see. Now it's better. I think it must have just been like a disturbance in the... It's intermittent. I don't know what to say. It's fine now. There is a fan. I can turn off the fan. Hold on. Is that better? Okay, now hopefully I will not boil. My mic is crackling. I don't usually have these problems. I've been having a lot of problem. Okay. So let's just do this. We'll do my best. I'll do my best. I hope it's okay. And it may not be perfect, and hope it seems to like adjust itself. So, all right, we'll keep going. Okay. I don't remember what I was talking about. So let me just take a pause. So I was talking about that little brief exercise where I said, don't be aware. And my guess is that whenever I teach that exercise, nobody can do it. They can't not be aware. It's impossible. We are aware all the time. So natural awareness is this invitation to notice the awareness itself and to rest in that awareness. It's a quality of awareness that can come when our mind is not caught up in the things we're noticing, but the part of us that is noticing. It's really interesting. It's this awareness of awareness itself. And when we tap into it, there's often a sense of what I call different aspects of the different facets, almost like a crystal of awareness or a diamond with different facets. And we tune into different facets. So it might be like we feel we're practicing with natural awareness, and there's this deep sense of letting go, or a deep sense of equanimity, or a sense of compassion, or boundless love, or interconnection, or spacious joy. So it's almost like this crystal turns in different ways and we experience it, and each person experiences it quite differently. So as I've been teaching it for a long time, I notice that there are very personal ways that it arises, and it could be different inside ourselves from one day to the next, and it can be different from person to person. So some of the words we might use are pristine, vast, boundless, open, luminous, bright. These are words that invite us there, that invite us. And we're going to practice in a few minutes. We're going to do a couple of different practices, and I'll explain why. One of the things that I feel pretty strongly about is that this is part of what it means to be a human being, to have access to these places. Now, most of us don't live from a place of pristine, luminous awareness at all, right? It's almost like there's this radio station blaring, and the radio station is on all the time, but our dial is not tuned to that. Our dial is tuned to the anxiety station, the grief station, the fear station, the anger station, the comparing station, right? That's where we tend to live. So as we do these practices, there's an invitation to more of the letting go of the identification and the stories and the drama, and letting our attention rest in these places of profound connection. And this is doable. It's absolutely doable. So as I have been practicing it and teaching it for a long time, I've created what I call glimpse practices. Glimpse practices are ways to access it that are available to all of us to give a try, right? And they're practices that you can do. Like, you can be meditating and then you go, okay, I'm going to try a glimpse practice and see what happens and see if it can help you move towards this type of awareness. And they're pretty fun and they're sort of playful. And so what I was going to do as advertised, the glimpses of being, we're going to do some practices to see if we can access these glimpses of being. Okay. So with that being said, I want to start with one practice. So one of the ways I talk about this is, I said it's awareness of awareness. And sometimes a way of noticing awareness of awareness is that which contains everything. Okay, that in which everything is contained is awareness. That's a way that people, these are access doors into natural awareness that we're going to try. So I'm going to do a practice to invite in spaciousness. Now, spaciousness itself is not natural awareness, but there are elements of spaciousness that can evoke it, and we'll just see what happens, okay? So let's give this one a try. Before I do this, I'm going to give the reminder about the Dana, and just to say that Sangha Live is amazing. Sangha Live was so ahead of the curve with doing online learning and bringing mindfulness to a global audience and these Dharma practices out into the world. And they're just an incredible organization. And so I just want to encourage you to, everything is offered freely. And the invitation is to give, and your giving helps them function to have more, to have this robust set of teachings and offerings out to the world. So please, please give to Sangha Live. A little portion comes to me, but mostly I want you to give to them. Okay. All right. So let's go to this first practice, and I just want to encourage you, have fun with this. Okay. Don't make it like, oh, I have to have this experience. Diana's describing something. I think I know what it is, but maybe I don't. And if you're not even sure, if you're thinking, am I doing this right? I'm going to say, yes, you're doing it right. You can't do it wrong. Basically it's different levels of refinement, but mostly let's have fun with awareness. That's what we're going to do right now. Okay. So settling back in a way that is comfortable for you. Taking a few breaths, resting, settling, pausing. Notice your breath for a moment. So let's turn our attention to the sounds around us. There might be sounds in the room that you're in. Sounds outside the room. Listen to the sounds as far out as you can. So if you were to listen to the furthest away sound, what might you notice? And let the sounds come and go. You don't have to work hard to listen. We're automatically, naturally aware. Listening to the sounds. Just noticing what happens as you really listen with a wide open sense of hearing. Okay, now come back into your body and notice your body. Notice your body present. You can feel maybe the outside of your body. And now imagine that your body is beginning to expand, It's almost like a balloon blowing up. And if it's not like your body's expanding, it's as though you can feel the space around your body. So sense into the space around your body. Front, back, particularly the back. Side to side. 360 degrees around, above and below. And just have that expansion move out, like sense further and further out into space. Include the sound. Bring the sound back in. So now we're feeling in an expansive way, and we're listening. And then if you want to try this, you can add opening your eyes if you feel like it. Don't look directly at the screen. Maybe there's something else, maybe a window or something to catch. cast your gaze on and let your awareness be that look at whatever there is to look at, but look peripherally. So maybe you're seeing the edges of the room. And now we're open-eyed, seeing in a vast way, open with our sensing. Open with our hearing. And let's just rest here for a moment. Our mind is open, spacious, like the sky. And everything that's happening is just like clouds floating by. Rest. Soften your body. Meditation, I understand. Just got messed up by the sound. I'm going to try one more thing. Hold on a second. Dang. Sorry about that. I'm wondering if... I know. I don't know what's going on. I'm switching to some one thing. Let's see if this helps. I don't know. I'm so sorry. Okay, give me a moment. See if this helps. Did that change the sound at all? Did that help? It's better now? Okay. All right. Sorry. And I'm sorry if that kind of messed up the meditation, but maybe you had some experience. So can you, I'd love to hear from you what just happened as you did that meditation, even with the little ripples of problems. So I'm going to wait for the chat to just hear what happened. So I know it sounds like a lot of you were kind of concerned about my sound, and I hear that. But if you were able to do the meditation, what did you notice when you tried that practice? Do you want me to redo it? Would that make sense to do it again? I'm not getting anything. Someone included, they included the buzz. It was a little distracting. All right, let's do this. Let's just try again. Okay, let's try again. Some of you were, it didn't bug you, but others it did. And I'm just taking a look at the sound. There's thoughts were quieter, less of a sense of separate self. A sense of the space spreading out around it. It's crackling again. I don't know, guys. I don't know. Thoughts are quieter, mind expanding. So I'm still having bad sound. It's better. Okay, I'm just going to leave it. It's not my fault. It's my fault. Okay, so let's include the expansiveness. Do you want me to refresh the browser? Shall I do that? Okay, I'll do that. Okay, I don't know if this is going to help. I think we're all just going to have to live with this. I don't know what is going on. This is a new thing. There's nothing on the microphone. Stop if I do that. Yes, Steve, thank you. Does everyone know the term techwanimity? Techwanimity? Equanimity with technology? Techwanimity. Okay. It's better. Okay, I think it might have been this headset. So here we go again. Let's not do this. Let me do a different one, and then we can kind of come back to the more spacious one. Or maybe I'll tell you what. I will do a I will do a different type of meditation, but we'll include the expansion. I'll put two together. So those of you who felt a little bit like I missed the expansion one because of the sound problem, we'll do it. Okay. So let's try again. Settling back, taking a breath. So this one, what I'm going to do now is include some of this. How do we explore who is aware? How do we notice who is the knower? So we'll do some expansion first for those of you who didn't get a sense of it. So again, we'll start by opening to sounds, and it's kind of the easiest one to do. We just open our attention to sounds, let it be expansive, open. Listening to the sounds, letting them come and go. And now notice your body. Notice the expansion of your body, open, spacious, almost like a balloon blowing up. So you start to feel the space around you. The space around you. Letting that expansion go out as far as possible. So it's almost as though you can feel the space way far away. And then, if you want to open your eyes and include in the visual field, so we have the expansive sound, the expansive body, the expansive visual field. If you want, if it's too much, you can close your eyes, but up to you. And now, as we rest here, as we rest here, just keep resting. And now ask yourself the question, who is aware? Who is noticing? Can we find the knower here? Who is expanding? And what do you find? Who is noticing the sound? There is sound, but there's something noticing the sound. Where do you find that? Not to spend a lot of time thinking about it. But just seeing what happens if you ask again, who's noticing? Who's aware? Where does the knower reside? And And then notice the effect of sitting in this place of exploring the knower. So this particular one looks like we haven't had any problem, at least for the last 5 minutes. This particular one is kind of a very famous way of meditating. And of course, many of you may be familiar with it from like Ramana Maharshi, where you're finding like who is the knower, who is the doer, who is aware. So we're exploring that. So I just want to hear. So we did both of those. So you might have connected. I put a couple of glimpse practices together. We did that first expansive one, which was actually three different ones. And then we started asking the question of who is noticing. So I'd love to hear what happened. What did you find? And also if there are questions, as you know, I've been saying a lot, I've been throwing a lot at you. So also open to questions at this point. And what happened when you tried to look for the knower? Oh my gosh, guys, I'm sorry. So Larry said, I had a wonderful experience of control of my awareness and experience you as totally alive and here with me, even with all the technological problems. No knower, Joel experienced. Yeah, is there a knower? Just being. Stillness. The knower is everywhere. Did not find anyone. Embodied awareness. The knower seemed less constrained to myself. Cannot find the knower. Felt an observing awareness. This is interesting, right? It's like, where is the knower? It's difficult to, someone's saying it's difficult to locate the knower. It seemed that I was the knower, but then the question came, who is knowing the I, right? So I'm gonna say a little bit about this particular form of meditation. So some people find it to be really rich and some people don't like it because sometimes it can activate the cognitive mind to make us like, oh, now where is the knower? And we start going like, I'm the knower, noticing the noticer, noticing the noticer, noticing the noticer, you know what I mean? And then we get all caught up. But what the purpose of it is not to have a, like to subtly like actually find the knower. The purpose of it is to open the mind in a meditative space to an experience of recognizing of whatever happens really. And sometimes that's recognizing the nature of mind in some way, like, oh, their awareness is aware of itself. Awareness is cognizing. It's in and of itself, it's kind of like a Zen koan, right? There are technical answers to the Zen koan, but it's in the act of asking the questions that impacts the mind. And I think that's what I'm seeing from all of you, at least those who responded, that it accessed something that was kind of interesting. So this is a glimpse practice that you can do when you're interested in exploring natural awareness. So you might sit down to meditate and you might do, I don't know, 10 minutes of a more focused awareness practice. And then you say, okay, now I'm going to try natural awareness. And you might throw in the question, like, who is the knower? Or you might try the expansion practice. Like, what happens when I expand and connect with space? And then once your attention, and we're not doing this yet, we'll do it in a few minutes, but once your attention gets kind of rests here, then you stay with it. And so I sometimes call it like you marinate, you sit in it, you sit in the experience of it. And then when your mind goes off into something else, like you get, you know, frustrated or lost or whatever happens, you bring your attention back. you just keep bringing it back to, it's like you reorient not to your breathing, but you reorient to the space that was created through the glimpse practice. And you can sit there, you can do it for long periods of time, right? And there's a, it's a very embodied state. It's not like a theoretical state. It's more of an embodied state. So this is just sort of a little bit of guidance on how to play with these and how to practice with it. So we can kind of marinate, and then I also call it refresh. Refresh is like we've been doing when you refresh your browser because it gets all wonky. You can refresh your mind when it gets all like I'm back in the identification of self. And now I'm going to refresh into something different. Back. So I'm going to do another one, just like a super fun, weird one, because I love this one. And it's I'd be curious because it seems like a lot of you are kind of responding. I want to see what happens if we do, as we do this one, and we'll do maybe one or two more. So let's take a moment to take a breath, come back, focusing your attention. Notice your body present here. And for the sake of this exercise, imagine that. So just gently, let's just start by sensing our feet, our legs, going up through our torso, arms, limbs. And when we get to the top of our neck, what happens if you had no head? Just imagine, just for fun, totally playful, you had no head. And what is here? Spacious? Where is the knowing happening from? If there wasn't a head here, what is here? And just soften and relax and really, really like, don't take this too seriously. Soften your body, relax. The top of my head is vast open space. Not the top, but above my neck. What do I notice? What's present? You can still breathe, sense, be here, open. Now feel your feet on the ground, feel your body, feel your gut. And just rest here wherever you are, both simultaneously embodied, but also with this openness. Okay, so this one was kind of like a I don't know, just I just am curious because some of you may be familiar from Douglas Harding, who has a book called On Having No Head. So just hear what happened as you did it. And keep in mind that some of these glimpse practices will be really effective and some won't. Am I still having problems? With the tech. Okay, so I'm seeing, okay, someone felt a bit like a jhana practice, like a lot of picky and well-being. That was fun. You just enjoyed it, right? It's kind of like a whole new way of just being aware. I'm having problems again. I don't know. I really appreciate you all hanging in here with me with all the tech problems. I have no idea what's going on. I'm so sorry. Joyful, heart-centered. Knowing comes from my heart. A thought came rising up through my left shoulder. Kind of creepy, but also fun, right? That's how I feel about it too, Janet. Oh, that's where I felt it. So someone asked the question. What is the purpose of doing these natural awareness practices? And there's more. Wait, I'll answer that. But I'm noticing some more comments. Felt like a little like swimming, being in spaciousness until I began to think about it. Felt more sensation in the neck, joyful, like meadow instead of anxiety. So the purpose of these practices, I feel like the natural awareness practices can help evoke states of fundamental well-being that are like right there, that it's not that we and a lot of it is dependent upon you having done a lot of other practices prior to this, but these practices are there's often like just like you're all describing, kind of like this immediate sense of connection, of joy, of, and sometimes when meditation can become a slog, like, okay, come back to my breath, back to my breath. These practices are quite freeing, and there's less, someone said, what a relief from mindfulness. It is mindfulness. It's just a different kind of mindfulness. But yeah, it's like a, it helps us, the sense of self reduces significantly. So all the things we're doing in regular mindfulness practice, it's just kind of like a different doorway into ways of being that I think are profoundly like beyond the stories about ourselves, beyond the drama. There's a play, and I feel like it's really important that these practices get taught, because sometimes they're considered to be like the more esoteric practices, but as you can see, we have access doors into it. Just like I said, it's a radio station. It's always blaring. And then as we practice it, we can start to live from it more and more. And that's one of the things that like that I try to practice it throughout my day. I'm working at the computer, and then I look aside and I notice what's happening, and I rest and I do a glimpse practice. So I have a big window in front of my desk and I do a glimpse practice, and it connects me with a sense of ease, of well-being, of connection, of spaciousness, whatever is happening in the moment. Someone asked a practical question. Can you talk about how this gives control and awareness of choice and intention and depth of knowing what awareness is? I'm not exactly 100% sure about the question. Larry, maybe you could clarify the question. I'm just seeing if there was a practical question before that. Do they open up awareness beyond the head, mind, and open us to more somatic experiences? Sometimes, it can be very embodied awareness. I won't move my arms. Someone was saying classic mindfulness encourages the sense of self. This is a letting go of constant selfing. In classical mindfulness, the emphasis on technique can reify or strengthen a sense of self. But as we practice over time in classical mindfulness, there is freedom from self that happens. This is just another doorway into that. I think I'm getting all the questions are coming in through the chat, and I hope I'm getting them. I want to do another practice and then sort of talk about where to go from here with this. Okay. So let's try it. Let's try one more practice. Now, this one that we're going to do is one that I feel is pretty accessible to most people, whether you're just starting out or you've been practicing for a long time. And it gets at this quality of fundamental well-being that I'm pointing to. So take a moment to come back to yourself, center. So, can you bring to mind a time in your life where you felt a sense of deep, deep well-being? A time, you could be anywhere, it could be out in nature, it could be in the midst of athletic activity or creative flow, it could have been with another person, an animal, sometime where there was this sense of resting in your own being. You were fully there, fully present, not lost in your dramas, not lost in your stories, connected, interconnected. If you can't think of any time, maybe you can imagine what this might be like. And this may have happened when you were 6 years old, or it could happen the other day, or it could happen once in your life. It could happen many times. When was a time where you felt a fundamental sense of well-being? So if you can imagine where you were at the time, what could you see, sense, hear? And how did you feel inside your body? How did you feel? And whatever you come in contact with, let that really be here. Soften, open, allow. Rest. And let that feeling maybe even spread beyond you, from your own body outward. Just being. Mind gets distracted, come back to this memory, this recollection of our birthright, this fundamental well-being. It's right here for us. And if a voice says, I don't deserve this, or what is this, or I can't find this, just put that voice, say thank you. And just consider the possibility that at some point in the future we can connect with this, if not now. So here's a question for you. What would be here right now if nothing were wrong, no problems to solve, if you could just be you? Settling, opening, emotion may come, let it be here, all opening in this vast field of awareness. We are interconnected, we are connected. What would be here right now? Nothing was wrong. If you could be you. As you come back to this talking part, love to hear what happened. You can have a fundamental sense of well-being, even if there are problems to solve. Yes, yes. And ultimately, the more we can function from this place, problems will come, but it won't disturb the inherent awakeness of your heart and mind. Right? That's where we're heading with this. You know, over time, it's like it's an embodiment of it. It's a living from it and through it. What else did people experience? Freeing. Really. Could you remember a time? I guess I can't ask a yes or no question. Life goes on. Stop the control agenda. Peace. So as I mentioned, some of these practices are going to really, like some of them you'll go, oh yeah, that one really makes sense to me. And others, no. Oh, I love the head one. No, I hate the head one. I love the... See ease and acceptance of myself, a well of well-being even amidst difficult times. Yeah, ease and a deeper sense of just being. Someone asked, are these shamatha practices? They felt similar. So there's lots of different language usage, right? So the Tibetans... My understanding is this is not what they call shamatha, but I don't know enough about that lineage and how they talk about it. I consider it to be influenced by Dzogchen, Mahamudra, Advaita Vedanta. I'm not teaching you that. I'm not teaching you those things. I'm teaching you practice influenced by these. Okay, so thank you for giving this a try, and we're coming to the end of our session. And I want to say, first of all, I really appreciate you hanging in with all the technology. You know, I've been teaching online, obviously. I've been teaching online for the last year and a half, and about 2 weeks ago, I started having problems with my internet setup. So I thought I had fixed it, but I evidently had not. So I'm really grateful that you hung in there, and even though it was bumpy and a little funky, but so thank you for that. Can it be a problem with trauma? Someone is asking, can it be a problem with trauma or low self-compassion? Not exactly sure of the question, Mark, if you want to elaborate, I don't know what you're saying. Yes, you're all practicing tequanimity, and I'm so glad Steve taught everyone tequanimity. We've been having to have a lot of that. So let me tell you some resources for continuing on with this. I have a new audio course that launches Tuesday. It's available. It's through Sounds True. So you get, well, the irony, of course, it's CDs. It's called Glimpses of Being. Oops, it looks like it's backwards. Sees, but they have an online version that's downloadable. It's 6 hours of learning to do the different types of practices across that spectrum. So where we started, where we did the focused awareness, the investigative, the open, and we went into natural awareness, that's what this course is about. My book, The Little Book of Being, talks more about natural awareness, although it includes that. So if you're interested, those are all there. And all of that's available through my website, dianawinston.com. So I'm just looking at the, were there, I know there were a couple of questions that sort of got buried in there. And I'm just wondering if there's something that was burning. I see. Yes, I do want to answer the trauma question. If there's no problem to solve, what's here may be unwelcome realization. So my experience with doing these practices is that typically the spaciousness and the awareness that's cultivated is and can handle what arises, even if it's challenging. And if what is challenging arises, then you can turn to other ways of working with it. And if it's very severe, you can stop and, you know, stop meditating. But when I've talked, and some of you are familiar with David Travelin's and his book, Trauma Informed Mindfulness, he feels like the natural awareness practices are very trauma informed, because a lot of people, for instance, can't go into their bodies and because of trauma, and these practices are more spacious and open, so they allow a lot of space for people to be mindful. So there's it's the very end of our time together. It would take a lot more to answer that question, but that's just a moment to say that. So I think we'll bring this to a close, and I just want to thank you and just invite you to keep practicing with it. Really, there's so much to do here. Our awareness is vast. Our meditation practice, there's so much to explore, don't we? And so if you're caught in your meditation ruts, I encourage you to start playing with different ways, and that we can come into these places of profound well-being through simple practices that that just shift our consciousness in new ways. And so please come see what we're doing at UCLA Mark. Everything is online. Hopefully my internet will be fixed. And I'd love to see you all again at another time. So thank you, everyone. I'll see you next time. Bye.